Hi there, I'm Tom Schultz, host of Voices of Montana, an issue-oriented newsmaker radio program. It's heard weekdays on 19 radio stations with 28 signals all across our great treasure state. Thank you for clicking on the podcast. Please subscribe, and we'll do our best to keep you connected. We're also on Facebook and on the web at voicesofmontana.com, where I'd love to hear from you. Please contact me at tom@voicesofmontana.com. A lot of challenges in our energy industry. As we look back over the last 20 or 30 years, there's a reason we're looking back, but we're doing that to look forward as well and look at how our energy providers have addressed some of these challenges. Grid modernization, right? That still needs to be done, but a lot of that has been going on for a while. I think these partnerships that are being established, regional partnerships, electric cooperatives, I think those are good things coming ahead, but we still have a lot of work to do when it comes to balancing our energy portfolio. And what about data centers coming online? And we're going to talk about all that today in the context that Gary Weens, Montana's Electric Cooperative Association Executive Director, is retiring after, well, we'll let him count the years up, and we'll do that today. Gary is on. Mark Lambrecht, who's taken over. We'll have thoughts from also cooperative leaders across the state of Montana, D.D. Isaacs, Carson Sweeney, and Doug Hardy today. Got a good show. I've been looking forward to this. Gary Weens is with us, and Mark Lambrecht as well. As we'll talk about Montana's cooperative future, but also look back a little bit. Gary has been a part of the energy industry. It's probably, you know, one, two, three decades, but that kind of experience has really helped. Let's just get into a conversation here. We'll talk about electricity and energy overall, but we'll also talk about the people who are involved in keeping those lights on. Let's welcome Gary Weens. Good morning, Gary. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing great. Tom, good to be with you. Thanks for having me us on.
This is like officially one of the last things you have to do as executive director, I presume, right?
That is pretty much it. I've been taking some vacation days, but my last day, official day, is July 11th.
Well, congratulations and thanks on all that service. And congratulations to you, Mark Lambrecht, named executive director July. You'll take over on July 11th as well. And good call for the MECA members. That's pretty cool. Long history, I think, legislative advocacy. But also, you're just a guy who gets it, right, when it comes to electricity and how bad we need it. How you doing, Mark?
I'm doing really well, Tom. Thank you so much for having me on. And, yes, I'm really excited about this opportunity and can't wait to get started.
Gary, how do you get Mark started in the right direction?
How did I get him started?
Or how? How can you get Mark started in the right direction?
He just got good instincts, so it really didn't take a whole lot. So, I did hire Mark back a while ago, a few years ago, to be our government relations guy, and so he's a Montanan, and he loves our state, and he's well known in our state. He's greatly respected by legislators, the governor's office, other policy leaders, and he will do a great job for our statewide association.
Yeah, and I'm going to echo all of that as well, Mark. A good call, as I said, too. What are some of the things that you look forward to maybe addressing or what's on your plate initially?
Well, as you know, we've got very experienced, excellent professional staff in place. We have a really experienced board that provides guidance to our organization, so that makes it really easy for me to get started here. But some of the things I want to accomplish, first of all, is getting to know our membership. I've been all over the state of Montana over the last few years, but I really want to, further engage in that, as I go to annual meetings and meeting with our individual co-op members around the state and those based out of state. So I want to do more of that. Also have to get started on planning for the next legislative session. We have a few ideas that we're working on right now. But other than that, I intend to fully engage in a SWOT analysis for the organization, taking a look at our strengths, weaknesses, opportunities for us, and any threats that we have to be prepared for. And that ties right into our strategic planning process. So, really looking forward to engaging in some deep conversations with the staff and our board members about that process.
Yeah, and I appreciate that. And Gary, I'm gonna have you talk about how you engage with that membership, so to speak. I mean, every one of these electric co-ops, I think it's 26 member-owned electric cooperatives, and serving, what is it, over 150,000 member customers,
40% of the state population gets their electricity from an electric cooperative in our state.
That's huge. But there's a lot of personalities. We've attended the MECA meetings and covered a lot of your news and have always appreciated that. The folks that you work with are salt of the earth people. And I've appreciated that. And they're community people as well. What is the advice for the incoming executive director about managing all the different personalities in that varied but vital membership?
Yeah, and so along those lines, just kind of jokingly, it is sometimes like herding cats. there's so many different personalities, but they're all wonderful people. Yep. But it's a challenge. But all the co-ops, they all have differences. Like, the old saying, if you've seen one co-op, you've seen one co-op, because everything's different when different geography, just different local economies, different personalities. But at the end of the day, they all have this in common, and this is what keeps us united, is that they all are owned by their consumers, and they're not-for-profit, and that makes them very focused on just serving their customers, serving the people that they're selling the electricity to, delivering it to.
Well, Mark,
grassroots is huge for Montana because of our ownership of who owns us. Mm-hmm. A few years ago, worked to double our grassroots membership, and we've been doing that, and then we've been growing it again. Can't remember what we grew, what our goal was. Remember, Mark,
our goal was 2,000 members,
yeah.
And we had to double our membership within a year, and we achieved that.
Yeah.
And, since we're on that, I want to interrupt here real quick.
Sure.
It's a really important program that we have, and that was proven during the legislature when in the House Judiciary Committee, members of that committee were subjected to an email campaign from some out-of-state interests that really put out some falsehoods about the bill.
Mm-hmm.
And so members told us about it, and we were able to get a hold of our grassroots network, and within 12 hours, we had over 350 emails to the members of the committee from their constituents who are members of our grassroots network, and that really made a big difference.
Very important.
I mean, and that's a great example of the power of grassroots and the necessity for it as well, especially in what you guys do. Gary Weens, outgoing executive director, incoming executive director Mark Lambrecht is with us here. And we'll hear from Dee Dee Isaacs, Carson Sweeney, and Doug Hardy a little bit, and we'll see what they share. I'm sure, Gary, you've probably been roasted a little bit here over the past month or so, because your retirement date is well established and coming up here as well. So I don't think they're going to bring bust anything new out on you here. But I'm interested in...
I don't think so.
Yeah, yeah. And you've been working with these guys for a long time, too. I mean, the relationships are strong in this body. How do you use that? I mean, when you look at some of the challenges you had, the grid was not super great. The regionalization, the partnership needed some work as well. You talked about member engagement, a lot of policies. Talk about some of those things that you look back on and say, look, this group, we got done.
Here's the thing. I think that the big – there's really basically – when I look back in the 32-plus years that I've been with the statewide association, really three big changes that I see that have occurred. And first off is – for Montana's electric co-ops, and when I started in 93, and in about 5 years later, I saw a dramatic shift in the stature growth of electric co-ops in Montana. And the reason for that change was electricity deregulation and how the electric co-ops responded to that movement, to that push. And it was all because the co-ops of who they are. They're owned by their members, and they made really good decisions. They decided to stay out of deregulation because they were worried what would happen to their consumers. Our co-ops typically serve typically 70% of their members are residential people. And because of that, they were worried about throwing them out with, you know, deregulation. Basically, you give you customer choice, but you throw you to the market to make your own decisions about who's going to be your supplier of that juice that flows across the poles and wires. And the electric co-ops were very concerned about that. So they said, no, we're going to continue to aggregate those customers on behalf of them, and we'll provide their power supply. We'll, you know, purchase. We have wholesale power contracts. Can you do that? And they made really solid decisions. And investor-owned, largest investor-owned utility then, Montana Power Company, didn't make good decisions. Mm-hmm. And threw the folks to the market. It was not good. Market prices skyrocketed. And so our guys, you know, people saw that. You know, before that, it was kind of like, well, those electric co-ops are out of their depth when it comes to the electric industry. They don't really know a whole lot about what they're doing. But that proved that they did. We had long-term contracts. Yes, they were higher than market prices, but they were stable, and they protected their consumers. So that was the first thing, the growth in the stature of electric co-ops dramatically in Montana. And then the second thing I've seen is because of the worries about climate change, there is this huge, kind of ongoing still, this push to green energy, that more of an intermittent energy because it's wind and solar, you know, available when the wind blows and when the sun shines. So there's been that huge push, but now I see it moving back the other direction now to more reliable energy. Like, we got to have natural gas power because it's there all the time. We got to have hydropower. It's there all the time. And it's this movement back towards more reliable energy is driven largely by, having to have, this push for data centers and all of that.
Yeah.
Huge demand for that, you know, expected to, in the United States, we're expecting data center demand growth to double in just 5 years. So that's kind of what three big changes that I've seen happening over the last 32-plus years.
Yeah, those are good. I mean, and I appreciate, you talking about that, the growth in stature of the co-ops after the deregulation. I totally see that. Deregulation and green energy now to maybe more of an understanding that the math didn't add up, the physics was not there, and so perhaps we're looking toward a more balanced portfolio. I'm encouraged by that because it's been a haul, I think, and there are forces that are against that kind of energy being used, you know, fossil fuel energy, just completely against it. Talking about a 30-year legacy supporting Montana's electric cooperatives, Gary Weens. It's the energy and the people behind the power today on Voices of Montana. Gary retiring as the executive director there for the Montana Electric Cooperatives Association. Mark Lambrick, the incoming executive director, served as the director for government relations there. We'll talk about some wildfires here as well as we welcome you back here to Voices of Montana. And Doug Hardy also joining us. We'll say hello to Doug here in a bit. I just want to, and we'll ask this question about wildfires, but, big shout out. We were talking about it in our huddle this morning. The first responders up in the Malta area, they had to evacuate certain areas there, and a fire burst out near town, but no structures burned, no injuries in that too. So great deal, or good job, I should say, by the first responders there, and also our radio affiliate up there in KMMR. You know, they go on the air. They're a locally owned radio station, and so they are providing the information that helps keep people informed too. So good job, Ryan, everybody up there. Okay, back to our program. Oh, Mikoshika as well. Large fire in that state park. So that's it's fireworks 4th of July. It's just, you guys just be super careful as we get drier and hotter. You know, and Mark, maybe you pick up on that too. Wildfires. That's one of the big things that you guys worked on in this last legislative session. Moved the ball across the finish line on that one too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that got me to thinking about that. Late last night, I saw the news about the fire in Malta, and you know, the impact to our members from Big Flat Electric Cooperative. So I was really thankful this morning when I communicated with their manager, Gretchen Boardman, and she let me know that everybody was okay and they were successful in getting that fire out. So very thankful for that. But it also got me thinking about the importance of the legislation we passed, and which it was House Bill 490, and that helps protect the interests of our co-op members should there be a utility-involved wildfire. But right now, we've been really busy working with each one of our members on implementing the terms of that bill. As you might recall from our previous conversations, it requires every single electric cooperative and investor-owned utility and transmission operator in the state of Montana to implement a wildfire mitigation plan by the end of this calendar year. And it involves a certain amount of public involvement, public meetings, public comments. And so we've been working with the co-ops to make sure that they complete all those different requirements in time. We recently had a meeting here at the MECA headquarters in Great Falls, where we brought in the leading consultant in the nation on wildfire mitigation plans. And so that company, Vantage Point, has been working with our members to review and amend those that had existing plans, and then also helping those that still have to develop them get those done in time. So the response has been really great, and we feel really good about the process here and getting this done in time and having good plans in place that will mitigate the risk of wildfire in Montana.
You know, let's go to Doug Hardy. And welcome, Doug. Doug's the general manager of the Central Montana Electric Power Cooperative that's based out of Great Falls but serves so many areas in Central Montana. And it's a little bit different. It's more of a power cooperative as well. Good morning, Doug. Thanks for calling in today. How you doing, sir?
Very good, Tom. Thank you.
Yeah. Why don't you respond to the comments there from Mark, and then we'll get you to roast Gary or brag on him, pat him on the back, or, you know, chuck him in the side, whatever you want to do here. But talk about how that bill in itself passing is going to improve things for you guys.
Well, number one, having the plans are just huge. Not that everybody didn't have a plan, but a more developed plan for a more comprehensive way of mitigating things that can cause a fire, hugely important. But as important for our ability to keep the power on is being able to have insurance and if something does happen, not bankrupt a given entity to where it allowed, if you cause a fire, you're going to be on the hook for it if it's demonstrated that you were the cause. Otherwise, you're not on the hook for things that were not your doing. If somebody had a campfire that got away and went through your right-of-way, which some states had that. So there's a mitigation of exposure on the liability side if you don't cause it, and that will help us maintain insurance and keep viable at affordable rates for the members in that regard.
And talk about how you guys are going to work with our first responders in this regard. I mean, that mitigation plan is not just something that you guys write up and throw down. I think one of the things that Gary can take credit for is creating better strategic partnerships.
Yeah, I mean, there's 9 points in the bill that you have to include in your plan, and that communication that you're talking about is an important one. We have a history of working with our local rural fire departments, and when the bigger fires, whoever comes in with an incident commander. But improving and enhancing that communication is always important to maintain.
How long have you known Gary?
Since 1990.
What's that like?
It's like good. When he first came, you know, having been a staffer in D.C. and, you know, his good old Glasgow roots showed throughout.
Nice.
We've worked together since that time, first on savings and loss control. Safety programs, training for all the different co-ops was partially under his wing, and I was one put on a committee in that regard, working with them. And then legislatively, we basically since 1999, so for a couple decades, we were a tandem, and that working together as a team is something that I thrive on. And the teamwork that we had was I have the technical side. I've been in it for 50 years. I know the line side, all that. And Gary, with his journalism background, could take my rough writings of position papers and testimony or talking points, and I'd hand them to him, and he could make them look good and be much better as far as readability. He'd hand it back to me, and I'd make sure that the technical was straight. We had position papers on in 99 on one bill that I think we took the waste slash out of a forest to get enough to build to make the paper for how many documents we went back and forth with some opposition. But we ended up prevailing, but we could do three position papers and have them hand them out to the full house, because this is before you had the email capability we do now. And it made a very effective team. I don't think either of us could have done what we did without the talents of the other, that's for sure.
Well, that's pretty cool. Doug Hartigan, Gary, you know, that sounds like a good side gig maybe going forward. You know, talk about working with folks like Doug and the Central Montana Electric Power Cooperative.
Oh, man, it was great. Just like Doug said, we were a team. We each knew what our strengths were and where we were weak, and I tried to stay out of his lane, and he stayed out of mine. But, you know, and one thing I really appreciated, you know, like Doug would tell me from a more technical viewpoint what a particular bill would or would not do. Mm-hmm. And then Doug was so focused on accuracy and, you know, making sure we were absolutely 100% factual about what we were communicating to the legislators and not trying to, you know, stretch the truth or that type of thing. And that just gave me a lot of confidence when I went into the legislature to lobby because I knew that Doug knew his stuff on the electric industry, and that I could be confident that what I was sharing was absolutely spot on, and that, you know, that build that trust that with the legislators so that they would trust us, like, hey, okay, these guys are giving us the facts, and we don't have to try to read between the lines. They're telling us exactly the way it is and what they really need and so forth. So it was a very successful team effort. We got a lot of bills passed, especially after that dereg thing happened, because of the growth in our stature, and a lot of this was this teamwork that went on.
You know, 40% of our energy users in Montana are rural electric cooperative energy users. The Montana Electric Cooperatives Association will have a new executive director shortly here. Mark Lambrick is on the phone with us today. Over 20 years in cooperative energy and served as government relations director as well. Gary Weens is outgoing after beginning his career with MECA in 1993 as an assistant general manager and then as the executive director since 2019. A lot of growth in co-ops over that time. Deregulation, you're looking at green energy, you're looking at all of the above energy portfolios coming into play. As we talk about energy here today, a lot goes on. So in every part of Montana, it's going to be unique and different. Going to welcome Dee Dee Isaacs, who's president, actually, of MECA's board and vice president of Tongue River Electric Cooperative, and that's based in Ashland, Montana. Good morning, Dee Dee. How are you doing?
Good morning, Tom. How are you?
Hanging in there, and I'm so glad that you called and joined us here today. And we'll welcome Carson Sweeney as well, general manager of Fergus Electric Cooperative. And Carson's been in this business for a little while, too. Carson, how are you doing, sir?
Good. Nice to see you again, Tom. Thanks for having us today.
Thank you for being on. Doug Hardy also with us, general manager, Central Montana Electric Power Cooperative. Gary, I'm going to have Dee Dee just talk about how important it's been for her to have you as executive director. I know you guys have worked together closely over a lot of years. And Dee Dee, you know, thanks for joining us for that reason here as well. You're probably a little bit sorry to see him go, but Mark's going to fill his shoes.
Well, that is a true statement, and I'm going to be a lot sorry to see Gary go. I joined the electrical world, co-op world in 2007, and Gary has been the face of MECA since then. So it's going to be a little different. We are incredibly happy to have Mark on board, but Gary is going to be missed. He is a consummate professional, gentleman, and leader. So politically savvy with all that time he spent in D.C. and then moving on back to Montana and joining Montana Electric Co-op. Our cooperatives have benefited so much by his guidance, and I truly cannot thank him enough for his leadership in that role.
Gary, talk about professionalism then. I mean, it just, as I'm rolling around in my head, you know, we think of our electric cooperative, salt of the earth people, you know, they'll go and make sure we got electricity on in any conditions. Carson knows that. There was a huge freeze out here a couple of years ago we talked about. But to take that, you know, ruffian sort of image and plant a professionalism to it, you know, talk about the value of that.
Yeah, I mean, when I think of professionalism, I think of, you know, being straightforward, being honest, and being respectful of people and not going behind their back and you know, and doing something behind their back that surprises them. And that really was bolstered, reinforced by the people that, were surrounding me, Doug Hardy, Carson, Didi, you know, others in the co-op. They're, you know, they're, like you said, they're salt of the earth. And then of course my staff, that all helps you to be professional when you've got good, great staff that is very dedicated to their work and is very supportive, and they've got your back all the time, and all of that really helps with the professionalism and representing, when you represent the co-ops, it's like I don't want to boast it too much but they got the white hat, those guys, because of, you know, who they are. They're owned by their consumers, and they're just totally focused on service. And I mean, it wasn't, being professional wasn't really that hard because of who we represented. We just knew that we're doing the right thing. We're doing things for others, not doing things for ourselves.
Mark, I want to have you weigh in on that. What professionalism means for our electric cooperatives, and you know, in their public persona, but also in accomplishing policy.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was thinking about that. You know, when I first met Gary and Doug was the 2007 legislative session, so quite a while ago. And so, you know, as a lobbyist, that was my first session lobbying, and spent a lot of time sitting with Gary and Doug in the committee hearings and out on the benches in the hallway. And I was working for PPL Montana at the time, and I thought I knew a bit about how power production and distribution works, but boy, did I learned from Gary and Doug that I really didn't know as much as I thought I did. So I'm really grateful for learning more about that, but also the right way to be an effective lobbyist. Those were some lessons that I've carried with me throughout my career. But the one thing that I recall was when the co-ops descended on the Capitol, things changed. And so I can remember one instance. I don't remember what the issue was, but Gary and Doug and Dave Kelsey, Terry Holzer, Brandon Whitman, Dave Wheelahan, they were all there. And I remember just, it seemed like they were everywhere in the Capitol at once. And like I mentioned, the Capitol changed. Legislators stood up, took notice. They greatly respected what the co-ops were looking for. And these guys just had so much fun. And I just remember them just being incredibly effective, and they were a bit confident because they knew their mission was the best interest of their members for, you know, 40% of the state of Montana. So, you know, it's been a great honor for me to be a part of that for the last few years, and I'm really excited to, you know, carry that spirit on forward as director of MECA.
Yeah, and that teamwork spirit as well. Carson Sweeney, who's general manager of Fergus Electric Cooperative, that's Lewistown Roundup area as well. Carson, good morning again. Gary being noted for kind of moving forward these partnerships. You witnessed that a couple of years ago when it was lights out at 30 below.
Yeah, certainly. Mecca is a great support to each and every one of the 25 co-ops in the state, and has built a strong team that supports safety and the Rural Montana Magazine and policy and all of our board meetings. And I'm just so impressed with that staff and the leadership that they've got to learn from in the past few years. And you mentioned professionalism. I took kind of a supporting role this session in Helena and from afar to highlight Mark's comments when the governor's staff or legislators would meet with Gary and Doug and the team. There's just this kind professionalism, respect for the process that's obvious and has been for decades.
So with all that, somebody tell me a story. Somebody tell me a story about working with Gary. I don't care if it was super effective or went sideways or you laughed your guts out. Who wants to start with a story about working with Gary?
Well, I think Doug should do that. He's worked with Gary the longest. He probably has the greatest story.
Doug, are you a storyteller?
I am.
All right.
The stories that I would tell that I'd laugh about, I wouldn't tell because we all trip up from time to time, and myself included, we prove our humanity. And so I'm not with a great story right now, other than I can tell you one thing we did is we traveled to the different areas of the state after the elections, meeting with newly elected officials and hosted by each of the co-ops. So Gary and I put a lot of miles on together. And there's one point where we pull over to a gas station to fill up the car. Gary gets a call of worst news on outside of the business life. And we sat there, and he seemed shell-shocked. But yet we had 300 miles to talk to each other and bolster each other up and help each other get through whatever we're dealing with. And that's one thing that stood out to me is that ability to have those conversations that help. So that's not a funny story. It just talks to character. Yeah. and humanity.
Gary, why don't you tell us a story?
I'll tell you a story. Okay. about myself. So when I first started lobbying, I was, you know, just learning. And I remember lobbying. I was really working hard on some particular bill. Doug will remember this. Trying to get this legislator from Northeast Montana, a female, to support us on a particular bill. And we were walking down the hallway. I wasn't paying attention to where we were going. And I kept lobbying her. I wasn't being annoying.
Right.
She was listening, but I lost track of where we were at, and she was going into the women's restroom, and I didn't realize. I didn't go in the restroom with her, but I almost did, and that was kind of embarrassing, but she got a chuckle out of it, fortunately, and I did get her vote, so.
Whatever it takes.
Yeah.
Gary has always been that focused, Tom.
Yes. And actually, Gary, I can see you walking in to that woman's restroom, still, you know, engaged in conversation, and she would have to go, excuse me. You know,
yeah, exactly what she did. She was very polite, but yeah.
I could just imagine other legislators in the bathroom there looking, what in the heck are you doing?
I wasn't going to bring that one up, Gary. Yeah. You can. That's not one I was going to bring up. But there was a lot of laughter after that throughout the day.
They go in there to get away from lobbyists. You know.
Right. That'd be some areas they could go without being badgered by us.
All right, stand by. I got to break. Go ahead, Doug. Go ahead.
It speaks to it because there's once we shape the message, there's not a more tenacious lobbyist out there to deliver that message to the different legislators. That's an example of the focus that was given.
Yes, professionalism. almost went out the door or in the door. You know, this is a good way to end this. We are talking with Gary Weens, executive director, outgoing after 30-plus years with the Montana Electric Cooperative Association and in the industry. Mark Lambrick, the incoming executive director there as well, 20 years. Everybody's got a few years under their belt when it comes to experience here. Dee Dee Isaacs from Tongue River. She's president, actually, of the Mecca Board. General Manager Carson Sweeney, Fergus Electric, and Doug Hardy is with us here, Central Montana Electric Power Cooperative. And just got a few minutes left here. Skip wanted to call, and maybe it's a good way to, and thank you, Skip, for this question, to end this. And I'll start with you, Gary, and then maybe I'll finish with you, Mark, if anybody wants to weigh in the time we have. What does the future hold? Membership for cooperatives, especially. Growth? Are we going to get a balanced portfolio? What do you see in the near and far future, Gary?
Well, I think the co-ops are in a good position with, the fact that they are focused on just reliable electricity, and they are very good at keeping their systems in top-notch condition so that they don't break down all the time, and they have great track records on reliability of the power delivery. And I'm a very optimistic person, but try to still be realistic. You know, certainly a lot of challenges, especially in the public policy making area. But I think we're headed in a good direction. We've got, and Mark could actually speak to this, some really good developments happening, for example, with federal hydropower. There's push to breach or remove dams, and we're headed in a good direction there. I see, better public policy coming out, getting permits issued for generation and power line development. Certainly lots of challenges within that. But, the co-ops are a lot, they're nationwide. They're kind of known as the truth tellers, and the public policymakers in D.C. are looking to them because they realize that these guys are going to give them the straight story, and that they really need to listen to them if we want to keep our grid growing and improving and stable and that type of thing. So,
thank you for that, Mark. You've got 30 seconds to kind of put a bow on it here.
Okay, all right. Yeah, our co-ops are still experiencing growth throughout the state of Montana. So, I mean, we have more demand for electricity, which speaks to the need to take care of the reliability side. So, I mean, we're working on that in generation and transmission availability. And, Gary stepped you off there a little bit about, hydropower. We were excited about the executive order that undoes the Columbia River memorandum that would lead to dam breaching. We just submitted comments the other day to the Northwest Power Conservation Council on their fish wildlife plan, urging them to...
Thank you, Mark.
Take that into account.
Out of time here today, I want to appreciate all of you, Gary and Mark and Doug Hardy, Carson Sweeney, and Dee Dee Isaacs. Thanks for joining us for the podcast, and join us weekdays live from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. for more Voices of Montana on great radio stations all across our Treasure State.